This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, so often we pray that you will open the eyes of our heart. We pray that you will open our ears as well, that with our eyes we might see and perceive you, that our ears we might hear you, that you open our mouths that we might proclaim you, and that you might move our feet that we might follow you. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we welcome you to what we traditionally call Good Shepherd Sunday. As we celebrate this Sunday of the Easter season, we normally will have one of the readings that talk about Jesus as our Good Shepherd. Now, if you've been following our Constant Contacts, you know that next week, we have invited you all to be a part of what we're calling our Mother's Day Challenge, to send a photo of your mother that we're then going to put a PowerPoint presentation out on our website and then invite you to try to guess through multiple choice whose mother the photo is of. So today I thought I would just give you a little preview of what we're going to try to do next week. So could we put up the photo of the mother for our trial? Does anybody have any idea whose mother that might be? Well, we go to the next slide, and we have some multiple choice answers. Whose mother is it? Is it A, the bread of life? B, the light of the world? C, the gate? D, the good shepherd? E, the resurrection and the life? F, the way, the truth, and the life? Or G, the true vine? Now, before you go paging through your Bibles trying to figure it out, I can tell you that the answer is all of the above. We hear two of these today in the gospel about Jesus being the good shepherd and Jesus being the gate, but these are two of the seven times in John's gospel where Jesus says who he is by saying, I am. They're traditionally known as the I ams of Jesus in John's gospel. Go to the next slide. And we have all of these there. The first one on the top right there, I'm the bread of life in John 6. And then I'm the light of the world as we continue clockwise in John 8. I am the door or the gate in a different translation as we hear today. I'm the good shepherd at the bottom. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then that wonderful reading in John 15. I am the true vine. We are the branches. I thought today we have looked at this particular image of Jesus as good shepherd and the gate or door in so many ways. Perhaps would be a good day for us to concentrate on just one particular image that we are presented with today. I think it's just God's sense of irony of humor that as we are celebrating this Sunday where we have this gospel about the gate, we have nothing but problems with the gate that is down on Seacrest. Now, I have heard Tom Handy and others invoke the name of Jesus in regards to that gate, but I don't think it's exactly the type of gate that Jesus is saying he is. But the image of that gate and the reason why it was installed is for protection. And that is certainly what Jesus is talking about. It's about going out and coming in. And certainly in this days of quarantine and starting to talk about when it's safe to go out and when it's safe to come back in, it becomes important for us to take that image and take it to that grander level of the one who protects our going out and our coming in. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have that little mezuzah on all of their doors. And it is in reference to Deuteronomy and quotes there that talk about that mark on the doors. But it's just as well, this Psalm 23, as well as Psalm 121, the Lord will protect your going out and your coming in. Many of you have had the opportunity to go with us on our pilgrimages that have gone to Scotland and England. Many of you participated in the staycation pilgrimage here this summer with the Rains and with the Fleasons. One of the activities that we do when we are on the island of Iona, because there's so many sheep, is on a day when it isn't raining, we go out with our notepads and we observe the sheep in their element, and we spend some time working through Psalm 23. And writing our own personalized version of that psalm. I have some of these from 8 years ago from our pilgrimage. And the authors of these gave me permission to share them with the congregation 8 years ago, so I assume my copyright hasn't run out. So I want to share a few of them to introduce what I'd like us to try to do today. This is by Joan Fox. The Lord is my leader and guide through daily life. I will have all the things I need for my life. He tells me to lie down and rest, take a break in a place where there is comfort, food, and security. He leads me beside water that is comforting and supplying my needs. He reinvigorates my purpose in life. In the name of my leader, guide. Even though I walk through the burning coals of life, I'm not afraid of whatever evil lurks around me, for you are on my team, my side, supporting me. Your tools for life give me comfort and security. You provide an endless supply of comfort. My enemies cannot interrupt my goodness because of you. You provide solace after a hard day or a hard time. I receive so much. It flows out, and I cannot contain it. All goodness and kindness shall stay with me forever. My days shall be spent in the goodness of God forever. Here's another one written by our altar minister, D. An unseen power is my protector and leader. I do not need for anything, even when I am mistakenly believing I am lacking for something. This power assures me that lying down is a good thing and allows me to do it where everything is peaceful within me. I sense calm and that all is well when led by this power. This extraordinary unseen power that I know as God brings me back to the awareness of my soul and life source. Even when I am around ego-hitting, negative, scary, and life-threatening situations, I'm not afraid, for you, God, come to me. Your tools are just the help I need. You surround me with so many wonderful and amazing things, smack dab in the middle of people with whom I have conflicts. You soothe me. You give me so many blessings that I can't count them all. You continually treat me with mercy and goodness, and you have done this throughout my life, and I am comforted that you will continue to do this. I will strive to stay close to you forever and ever and ever. And one more. This is from Christine Pettick. The Lord is my North Star. He will always be there. My needs will be met. He wants me to rest in Him. He gave us all the verdant earth. He guides me to calm, refreshing seas. He renews the depths of my being because He is my God. There may be hard times in life, but I'm not afraid because my shepherd is always there to lead me through the darkness. He spreads before me a glorious banquet of life, and I can do anything if I trust in Him. His love surrounds me and heals my body and spirit. All that is pure and good shall fill my soul, and I will rest in God's presence forever. What I would like to do today is give all of us an opportunity to write our own personal Psalm 23. You might choose to do this as I read some reflections on these different lines of the psalm, but because this is going to be posted up on Facebook and YouTube, you can go back during the week, perhaps, and reflect back upon this part of the service and come up with your own personal version of Psalm 23. This can be a very beneficial thing, just like a regular spiritual timeline can be for us, because it's made based on our perceptions of where we are in our head and our heart right now. And it can reveal to us a lot of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go through the psalm line by line and give you some hints as to what you might reflect upon to write your own version of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. This is about relationship. Who or what in your life would be a good comparison? The person or entity to whom you look for total protection, guidance, leadership. And if you don't have that in your life, think of who you would dream of having in that role for you. This is what a good shepherd is all about. A few ideas from past participants. The Lord is my boss. The Lord is my favorite teacher. The Lord is my grandma. The Lord is my personal trainer. I shall not want. Supply. I will have everything I need if I allow God to be my shepherd. I may not have everything that my ego wants, but I will be cared for, loved, and provided for very well indeed. It says I'm going to be okay. It wakes us up. And it enables us to ask the question, what would it look for you in your life to be able to say, I have everything I need? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is about rest. Sheep require plenty of green pasture in which to graze or to eat. So at one level, it means that God will provide all of my food and other needs. But at a deeper level, it means that God provides nourishment for the body, mind, and the soul. It does not say I must struggle to make ends meet. It says God will lead me to green pastures. Remember the times in your life when you've needed to slow down, but just weren't willing to do so. The psalm says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. That at times our good shepherd will force us to rest. Remember when you didn't do that in your life and you ended up sick or acting out and snapping at other people or perhaps turned to an addiction to keep you going or perhaps even had a breakdown of some sort. What would it look like for you when God encourages you, enables you, maybe even makes you to take a break? He leadeth me beside the clear waters. refreshment. Sheep, I'm told, are afraid of moving water, so coming to those clear waters makes it easier for them to be comfortable to take their drinks. What does it look like for you to have refreshment? A good workout? A nice cup of hot tea on a cold day? A fragrant hot cup of cappuccino in the morning? A fresh glass of orange juice? Or maybe in our case right now, a nice mango smoothie from the tree in your backyard? He restoreth my soul. Healing. Based on your experience in life, what does it mean to be healed? Where have you experienced healing? And if you are still seeking healing, what would that ultimate experience of healing look like for you? I'm cancer-free. I no longer have any regrets. I've let that relationship go. Or as we said, my soul is headed forward and I'm never looking back. Previous tension and worries dissolved. He leads me in paths of righteousness, guidance. What would it look like for you to have good direction in your life? And where would that come from? In the past, some people have written, God is my GPS. God is my map. God gives me good advice. For his name's sake, purpose. What does it mean to you to have purpose in your life for God? And how would you express your being led in life with a purpose to glorify God? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, testing. Always note that it says though. It doesn't say if. There is no maybe here. We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will have highs. We will have lows. How would you express those lows in your own life, either those you've experienced or those you fear experiencing? Or perhaps when in your own life have you approached that perceived disaster and yet God brought you through it? A lost job, a broken relationship, whatever it is for you that concretizes that experience or that fear of losing something of ultimate value to you. I will fear no evil. Protection from that evil. What is that ultimate bad thing that you fear could or has happened to you? For thou art with me. Faithfulness. I always resort to the line in Thomas Merton's Prayer in Thoughts in Solitude, for God will never leave me to face my perils alone. What does it mean for you to know that God is with you? If you don't feel God's presence with you or have had an experience of what's called the dark night of the soul when you feel abandoned by God, how would you express that longing for God's presence that would enable you to be able to know that God is with you? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Discipline. And remember, to be a disciple, we have to have discipline. The rod and the staff are those tools by which the shepherd can discipline the sheep to keep them safe. The rod, that which protects me from hostile beings, all that could harm me. What symbolizes that protection for you? And the staff, that which gives me sure guidance. What symbolizes good guidance for you? Is it a person, a book? Where do you look to for guidance? Or if you feel like you do not have adequate guidance in your life, where would you envision this in your dreams that you would find it? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is about hope. A table is prepared for you. So envision a banquet, but also envision the person who is sitting across from you, and of course, 6 feet away, and it's your worst perceived enemy. Who would that be for you? But be careful whom you choose. Because when we sit down at table in the presence of another person, the breaking of bread and the sharing of food has a tendency to heal relationships. Breaking bread together is a way in which ice is broken many times. Thou anointest my head with oil. Consecration, honoring, dedication. In biblical days, to anoint a person's head with oil was to dignify that person in a special way. It means that not only will you be fed or cared for in the presence of your enemies or opposers, but you will be honored and dignified and deeply respected. What would it be in your life that you have experienced or would want to experience to be honored? I've heard from several of you during this time of this quarantine that you have felt honored just by receiving a phone call or being able to call someone else to give them hope or sending or receiving a card in the mail. Well, what would that honoring look like for you, whether it is what you've experienced in your life or what you yearn to experience? Jesus did that in so many ways of metaphorically anointing people's heads with oil. Remember the woman at the well? He told me everything I did and didn't run away. Or the man born blind, he gave me attention when everybody else ignored me. My cup runneth over, abundance. I am going to be given even more than I need or can use. As John Claypool always says, there is always enough. These words form a very powerful image of a cup overflowing. So what is your cup? What would symbolize or concretize for you the experience of abundance? A full pantry? More friends than you could ever imagine? Or perhaps more internally, so filled with gratitude inside yourself that it just tumbles out. When I always think of abundance and things flowing out, I always think of a little favorite scene from I Love Lucy, where she puts too much yeast into the dough and then puts the bread into the oven. Can we put that little clip up?
How does the oven door get open?
For me, that just nails what abundance is all about. So take that internally. What would that loaf of bread be for you to experience that abundance? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life. If goodness is going to follow me, then goodness will always be in the wake of whatever I have done. So what would symbolize that goodness for you? Someone once wrote, even if I mess up along the way, somehow God's going to clean it up after me. I know Mother's Day is next week, but I always think of that little humorous anecdote of the school class that was in science studying about magnets, and on their test, the teacher posed the question, what word has six letters starting with M and picks things up? Thinking that magnet was the answer, but all the children wrote on their page, mother. What symbolizes that goodness following in your wake? And then mercy, or kindness in other translations. It seems to imply that I'm not always going to get it right. But it means that if we allow God to be our shepherd, our guide, or our overseer, we'll be treated mercifully or with kindness. So what would symbolize or concretize that experience of mercy for you? Well, think of where you've experienced it in the past, or where you would want to experience it in the future. What would be the best things, people, the best traits that would be pursuing you? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, security. The Jews look for nothing more special than the temple in Jerusalem, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, like Simeon or Anna, like that Lashana HaBirushalayim, we always sing at the Seder, next year in Jerusalem. The greatest wish that we could be gathered together in that place to celebrate the Passover. What symbolizes that most secure place, the place where you would be most comfortable and joyous staying forever? If we were on the sitcom Cheers for Norm, Cliff, or Sam, it would be the bar where everybody knows your name. For Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, it's going home again. What does that look like for you? Being again with the ones you love? Or being in a favorite place forever? I took the liberty of taking this psalm and just looking at where we are in our life right now and having a little fun with it. So I offer you my COVID-19 version of Psalm 23. The Lord is my scientist. I have all I need. I don't know when to slow down, so he has made me shelter in place. He makes it easy for me to have groceries delivered. He restores my pantry. He leads me in safe paths for social distancing's sake. Even though I walk through Publix trying to keep 6 feet away, I fear no virus, for you are with me. Your mask and your gloves, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me all day long, even in the presence of my COVID-19 extra pounds. You anoint my head with sanitizer. My immunity overflows. Surely Purell and Clorox will follow me all the days of my quarantine, even if it seems I shall dwell in this house forever. God likes humor. We need humor at a time like this. But we can also personalize our journey of faith through an exercise like this. I encourage you to consider doing it. But one thing I will add at the end. We're in John chapter 10. We've already looked at John chapter 9 and John chapter 11. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals the man born blind. He has power over sickness. In John chapter 11, Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. This good shepherd has power over sickness. This good shepherd has power even over death. May we continue to look to him, therefore, to be our gate, to be our good shepherd. Amen.